What does a Roman citizen has to do with us Christians in this generation? For you who have been, who originally come from the Philippines, the message we have today, may be something that you would consider if you want to have dual citizenship or not. We'll talk about the advantages and disadvantages of having dual citizen through the passage we just read. Well, Filipino Canadians are observing that drama happening in the Philippines right now about the Philippine election. And Philippine election is about 7 months away, would happen on May next year. But Filipino Canadians, even those who have not originally come from the Philippines, even those who have been born in this country, could be very interested of the Philippine election result. Why would that? It's because most of us, if not all of us, we still have friends, we still have relatives in the Philippines. And people we just care still live in the Philippines. And for those who have dual citizenship, they may have been observing who they should vote. Here's a personal question that you may consider. Are you very comfortable telling other people that you have dual citizenship, that you have a Philippine passport and a Canadian passport? What are the advantages or disadvantages of dual citizenship that you have experienced? When you travel, if you really love traveling back and forth to the Philippines, or if you are not from the Philippines, from the country of citizenship, it might be easier for you than for non-citizens. And there are also disadvantages of dual citizenship. If you are very much involved in politics, and if you are hoping that you would retire in the Philippines and run for government of offices, or other candidates aspiring for the same office may use your dual citizenship as issue that they can take advantage for their favor. And so that is something that you may want to consider. But aside from that, there are a lot of advantages of having dual citizenship. Well, did you know if Apostle Paul have dual citizenship? He was born Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin, but he was born in the city of Tarsus, Cilicia, that's the present-day Turkey, as a Roman citizen. Israelite as Roman citizen. Well, did God plan for Apostle Paul to be born as Roman citizen in preparation for him to be an apostle to the Gentiles? If you look at it, that situation, then it's also God's plan that he allowed the parents of Apostle Paul to be exiled from Israel. Well, what disadvantage Apostle Paul had experienced as Jewish Roman citizen? Let's read again verse 22 to 24. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, "Rid the earth of him, he's not fit to live." As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the commander ordered Paul to be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and interrogated in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. What did Apostle Paul say that prompted the hostile crowd to raise their voice and shout? Apostle Paul was giving his testimony before the angry crowd, he tried to convince the hostile people of Jerusalem that he did nothing against the law of Moses. He was faultless. He was obedient to the law. And he mentioned about his credentials, about his calling as apostle to the Gentiles, and he told them that the Lord spoke to him personally. He testified of his personal encounter of the Lord. Let's recall what happened in verse 17 to 21, that verse, the verses before our passage. When I returned to Jerusalem and I was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. Quick, he said, leave Jerusalem immediately because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. When the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And the hostile crowd raised their voice after Apostle Paul said that phrases. And in that instruction that the Lord gave him to leave Jerusalem. So, what was it that Apostle Paul said that made the crowd shout in anger? Was it because Apostle Paul said that the Lord instructed him to leave Jerusalem immediately? Was it because the Lord declared that the people would not accept his testimony? Was it the Lord because he gave the approval to the killing of Stephen? Or was it because the Lord instructed him to go to the Gentiles? Here's an observation, and you may have observed this. When people do not practice faith in God, whatever good or bad reason that you would give, they would oppose anything, may it be reasonable or unreasonable, concerning the Lord. They would oppose. And the Lord declared it that people in Jerusalem won't accept the testimony of Apostle Paul. And Paul had practically, at that moment, proved that people would not listen to his testimony about the Lord. Whatever the Lord says, it will happen. Remember that. Reflect on this. Would you agree that God has designed that Paul would be born as a Roman citizen for him to be God's messenger to the Romans, to the Gentiles? Was it God's plan? Now, if that is really what we believe by faith, how many people would dismiss or want to forget their upbringing? They do not like to talk about what happened in their childhood, where they come from, where they live, their personal experiences. How many people would be wishing they would be born somewhere else? Think about this. If you were to choose, if you can choose, just for the sake of intellectual acrobat, if you would, because it won't be changed, just think about this. If you were to choose where you should be born, where would that be? Do you have an ideal place that you want to be born, if you were to be born? If you were to choose the time, if you were to choose the year, the date, month, day that you should be born, what would that be? Do you have preferences where and where you should be born. Do you believe that God knows the right timing, the right place, the right parents, the right country, the right community a person must be born? Where you are right now, your situation right now, do you think is just perfect? In our ideal mindset, most of us would think it's not. But it's only by faith in the Lord that we say, it's perfect. It's perfect. Faith in God helps us to accept without hesitation that reality. So if you cannot just yet accept that reality, pray, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith in you, that I would trust that you put me in a perfect situation. It is by faith that believers would appreciate gladly who they are as a person, what they are as a person. If you have a lot of complaint in your heart of your situation right now, now the Lord put you in that situation. But it's by faith that you would accept that situation. So if you can't accept that still, Lord, pray, Lord, help me accept this. It's not very ideal to me, but I know it's perfect to you, the reason you put me in this situation, in this place. Apostle Paul endured the disadvantages of his calling as apostle to the Gentiles, as a Roman citizen, as Israelite Roman citizen, especially among Jewish people, among Jewish community. Jewish people opposed him. They did not hide their hatred toward him. He was faultless in regard to the law of Moses. Nobody can charge him of wrongdoing when they look at the law of Moses. He was a Pharisee, and Pharisees are the most righteous people, according to the Lord Jesus. And yet they still cannot believe him that he is obedient to the law. That's the hatred he endured among Jewish community. Even before that incident in Jerusalem, the Lord warned him that people in Jerusalem would not listen to him. They won't pay attention to his credentials. He tried to impress them that he had that highest credential of being obedient to the law as a Pharisee, a student of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was most respected professor of the University of Jewish Law. But why did Apostle Paul insist on going back to Jerusalem when the Lord had already warned him through the prophet? He was warned by the Holy Spirit. He sends that warning. God sent a prophet named Agabus to warn him. The disciples in Caesarea warned him not to go. His mission team member warned him not to go. But still, Paul insisted to testify in Jerusalem. Why? Why was he very stubborn in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hostile crowd? Well, God has designed that Apostle Paul would preach the grace of God. And for him to be able to have that credential or that karapatan, what is karapatan in English, right? That right to preach, he has the K. He has the right to preach about God's grace. He had to experience God's grace first and foremost. Paul has been preaching about God's grace, and God allowed Apostle Paul to go to Jerusalem for him to personally experience more of God's grace. among hostile crowd. The prophecy of Prophet Agabus with Paul, that Apostle Paul will be put in chain in Jerusalem, that prophecy came from the Lord. And whatever the Lord says, it surely will happen. And that was what happened to Apostle Paul. He was put in chain. Similarly, God allows unpredictable circumstances around us. Even if the weather forecast says there's no snow, there would be snow. If the weather forecast says there's snow, there would be no snow. Why is it that there are many unpredictable circumstances and situations among us? Well, one of the not very appreciated movement in the church, if you can accept this, is church hopping. Church hopping. What is church hopping? A Christian would go to one church, then if he doesn't like that church, he would go to another church. If he doesn't like that church, he would go to another church. While others would go to another church because they are forced to be in that place or transferred to that place. This movement are unpredictable. It happened in our church even before the pandemic. And people are puzzled. What are our church leaders doing? What are they doing to stop transfers going to another church? To stop church members from transferring to another church? What are the church leaders doing? And most of the time, the leaders would take the blame. Well, we did what we can, but still they are doing what they want to do. It's not the fault of church leaders, friends. When a church member transfer, it's not. God designed it. God allowed it. When churchgoers transfer because of financial or employment reason, they want to go to Alberta because they want more snow, or I don't know, or they want a better employment somewhere, something like that. When churchgoers transfer because they want to find a better employment for their family, something that we can easily, well, we can accept that. It's easy to accept. And when churchgoers transfer because of personal reason, misunderstanding, conflicts, it brings no silent reaction. There would be people saying, oh, because this one is doing that one, or that one is doing that one, something like that. They find many reasons, many things to blame why a person would not continue to attend a particular church. Why is that? Why does church hopping a concern for the church? Can we not accept that it is that the Lord had designed it for us that this would happen? Can we have that gladness that, well, we pray for that they may grow deeper in their faith in the Lord when they transfer to a church like that they love? They transfer to a church because they love this kind of worship. They transfer to a church like this because they love that building. They transfer to a church like this because they love the leaders or anything. They have friends there. Why can we not just embrace those reasons instead of blaming one another? Listen, if Apostle Paul did not go to Jerusalem, would God display more of his grace to him than what he had experienced? would he experience more of God's grace if Apostle Paul was not persecuted, particularly in Jerusalem? Could we say that it was God's grace that Paul had been experiencing peace in Jerusalem? Was it God's grace at work that churchgoers transfer from one church to another? If you look at ourselves personally, what is it that we can sense? Why is it that employment issue that the reason when church members transfer because of employment, why is it that it is more acceptable for us than when a person transfer because of misunderstanding or conflict issue? Why is it that we gladly accept that, well, we wish him good luck? Well, we wish him. From viewers and readers' perspective, it can be concluded that it had brought disadvantages to Apostle Paul being a Roman citizen when the people in Jerusalem did not listen to him. But it was also Apostle Paul's, to his advantage, being a Roman citizen when he was in a Gentile country, or that at the time, at that moment, when the commander of the Roman soldier respected his Roman citizenship status. So that dual citizenship of Apostle Paul as Jewish and Roman citizen is not bad at all. It was also an advantage to him. Let's read again verse 25 to 27. As they stretched out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, "Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't been found guilty?" When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported it. "What are you going to do?" he asked. "This man is a Roman citizen." The commander went to Paul and asked, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes, I am," he answered. In verse 10, then the commander said, "I had to pay a lot of money for my citizenship, but I was born a citizen," Paul replied. Those who were about to interrogate him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chain. Being a Roman citizen, Apostle Paul, the soldiers who were about to flog him, interrogate him, they reconsidered their action toward him. As a Roman citizen outside the Jewish community, it was a great privilege for Apostle Paul. It could have been also a status symbol serving in the Roman infantry. And there's power, there's authority, there's prestige, and also financial stability were attractive benefits serving the Roman government. And it lessened or even eliminate persecution from Roman soldiers if one becomes a Roman citizen. So it was an advantage for Apostle Paul. And Paul had experienced that personally. In relation to the calling of Apostle Paul to the Gentiles as a Roman citizen, it also helped him. It helped him to communicate the gospel more convincingly and accurately because he had better understanding of the language, the culture of Gentiles, especially the Romans. Now, for everyone, as Canadians with Filipino origin, have you heard that more Filipino missionaries are joining missions in Asia? In the past decades, accordingly, Westerners are very much involved in missions in Asia. But now the Filipino Christians are going outside the Philippines for mission, especially in Asia. And in Asia, this is something you might want to consider if you want to be a missionary in Asia, somewhere in Asia, Southeast Asia. English teaching has been very effective vehicle to reach out to non-believers. Even if you go there as tourist, here's one thing if you are planning to tour Asia. Search online and look for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, one month English teaching opportunity. In that teaching opportunity, you might be teaching at least 2 to 3 hours a day, and the rest is for you. You would be given free food, lodging, and even airfare, and even salary. And salary may not be very much higher than your salary in Canada, but at least you won't spend your money. That is a possibility. That happens many among missionaries that we encountered back in Asia when we were there. So think about that. Well, more Asian schools would prefer Caucasian English-speaking teachers, but there are also schools that just cannot afford $4,000 or $2,000 to pay for Caucasian teachers. But because you have that Canadian citizenship and you speak clearly English, they might consider you. And I believe they would. Just make sure that you have a contact there, a missionary or something. Even if you're not a missionary, somebody who would bring you around and introduce you to Christian missionaries. However, Filipinos can easily identify. So you can easily identify, you can easily befriend, acclimatize to Asian environments much faster, actually, than Western counterparts. Our Western counterparts back in Asia, they have a budget for taking language class, and they even invited us to join their language class for free. But we did not, and yet we were able to travel around, speak around. There's one thing, just a side bit of experience that we have. Laika and Louis were little. Laika was 8, Louis was 10 or 11 years old at that time. I asked them, go and buy meatball. They go buy meatball. We cannot speak. Just point the meatball and just give this. And they would just return if you have any change, they would just give. And they did. There's a lot of experience that we can tell you, that we experience even without communicating the language. We can survive because they think we are locals. Actually, many people in where we went think that I'm a countryside farmer because of my skin tone. Of course, I'm darker than most of them, and they think, oh, this old farmer is speaking English. That's wonderful. They are encouraged, right? An old farmer can speak English. Why not we students? Well, truly cultural background and citizenship have their own disadvantages and advantages. And learning from the experience of Apostle Paul, there were believers with Jewish upbringing who came to Rome. If you've been reading the book of Acts, we will find that out in the latter part of the book of Acts. There were Jewish people who came to Rome ahead of Paul, but God used Apostle Paul much better than those who went ahead. Apostle Paul has been mightily, according to the book of Acts, sharing the gospel to the people in Rome more than those who had arrived in Rome ahead of him, according to records available. What is that to us? God allowed us also to be born in a particular culture with particular citizenship. God situated every person in a specific place even before or after we became Christians, because the Lord has a great plan for each of you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yes. By faith, we believe that the Lord has a great plan for each of us. And there's no circumstance that would happen without the permission of God. Do you believe that? Every situation, good or bad, in our opinion, that the Lord allows us to experience has been thoroughly planned even before we were yet to be born. Your situation right now, it seems bad right now or good right now, but the Lord designed it as a crucial part of His plan for you. Of course, it's by faith we believe that. So let's pray that God would enable us to sense and experience more of His grace at work in our life. So when there's complaining that you sense in your heart, whatever that situation would be, of course, the Lord would not allow a problem in your life that others have not experienced. You are not isolated in that case. Others had already experienced it. And the Lord do not allow you to experience a problem that other people had not experienced. Let's pray that God would enable us to see things, situations that He allows, even that are not favorable as they seem to us, that we can experience much of His grace at work in our life. Personally, what tough, difficult, struggle situation you are experiencing these days? Problem in finances, problem in employment, problem in relationship, problem in the community, problem about mental health, problem about studies, problem of parenting. Have you sensed, have you understood the function of God's grace in that situation? Pray that God be, the grace of God be felt, be sensed as sufficient in your difficult situation. If you cannot accept that yet, but if you can accept without hesitation, then praise God, His grace is at work in your life. Apostle Paul had been persecuted. Apostle Paul was dismissed among his people. Apostle Paul experienced the worst a Christian could experience, and yet he teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me." God's grace becomes more apparent when everything gets tough, when everything is struggle, than when everything is smooth and pleasant. Problems and difficulties would help us realize This helps us realize if the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is really active in our life. When the Holy Spirit is active in our life, in the midst of storm of life, we have joy and peace. If you have sensed that joy and peace, even with difficult situation, it is God's grace working sufficiently in us. When God's grace overflow in our lives, in the midst of difficulty, we have peace in the Lord. Shall we pray?